Hi, I'm Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. I admit it, this is one of my most favorite months, not just because it is our month, and I have so many friends and family born in May, not just because it can be one of the most beautiful months of the year. Nope, it's more than that. I love that May is a listener thinker. Listening and thinking sometimes appear to be lost arts in a hurry up and shut up world that we live in. In this month, we can practice the idea of silence and discover its treasures. In this podcast, we celebrate May by talking about the symbols of the listening woman, the color black, deer, the hawk, ant, and armadillo, plus the number 5, with all the symbols of what it means in many cultures around the world. Join us as we sink into awareness and celebrate with gratitude that we can shift the story together. Okay, so we're talking about the month of May.
The month of May, the number 5.
The number 5.
Of 12.
Of 12.
Yes.
So do you want to start with 5?
I want to start with what Twyla told me, that the highest sense of awareness, is listening.
And that's May.
And that's May because May is, it's the listener and the thinker, mm-hmm. and it's also hear the truth. So it's all about hearing and listening.
Okay.
And in Jamie Sam's book, entitled The Original 13 Clan Mothers, mm-hmm. She has a little poem there on the month of May for number 5. And she says, "In the stillness prior to dusk and dawn, hidden messages are set free." Now, I kind of paraphrased that. That's not exactly how she said it, but yet, That's the essence of it. And the reason for that is one of the original, the clan mothers, the one for May or the number 5, is the listening woman. Mm-hmm. And how the listening woman came to be was she was in a cave and it was very dark. And so it was so dark you couldn't see a thing. It was absolutely total blackness. And in the blackness, then she could hear every little sound within herself and mm-hmm. outside of herself. So she really developed listening skills by doing that, by being in a cave in that darkness. And that's why the idea of the dusk and dawn, prior to dusk and dawn, that's when the hidden messages are set free, because that's when you really pay attention from a listening standpoint.
So actually, is that how you got in the habit of getting up in the dark and sitting in the dark for a while?
It
every
is,
morning.
Yes, because there's that thing that goes on in that time where you, and I, as far back as I can remember, I was kind of that way. Mm-hmm. I had to sit in quiet, and then the Senecas call that tie-away, which is entering the stillness or the silence. And when you enter that, when you're in that quiet place, that's when you can really listen and hear in very deep ways. Not just the surface listening, which is what we're trained to do, that surface, two-dimensional, linear listening. It's very deep. It goes very deep.
Well, when you talk about listening, I always think about I know you say the month of May is the month of the listener month or the hearing month, but mm-hmm. I think listening and hearing are two different things, because to me, hearing is more about hearing the outside and kind of the noise. Mm-hmm. Kind of hear what's going on. But listening, you have to do the quiet, inner listening. It doesn't seem to me quite the same as hearing.
Well, when you're listening effectively, mm-hmm. then that's why in the Seneca tradition of the cycles of truth, they call it hear the truth.
Ah.
So when you're listening in that very deep, profound way, that's when you hear the truth. When you're listening on the surface, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff, and the truth might be in there, but how do you know what's what?
Well, actually, yeah, when you're listening on the surface, the noise is never the truth.
No, because it's chaos. It's just all kinds of stuff that comes in there. So it's that, how do you hear the still small voice? Well, you have to really have your listening skills fine-tuned to hear that still small voice. And our practice and our training is just the opposite of that. It's keep us on the surface, keep us in the noise,
keep us busy.
Keep us all that stuff, and you get what you get.
Well, in the shift, we often talk about what you call the POL, the pause, observe, listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, can you talk a little bit about what that pause is and how it relates to listening?
The pause, and this is especially relevant for the month of May, because when you're listening, if you're listening on the surface, what you'll do is you'll pick up a rhythm. Because, again, the one of the qualities of May is rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harmony, prophecy, rhythm, rhythm itself. So even though each month has its own rhythm,
yes,
the month of May, rhythm is rhythm. One of the qualities is rhythm. So they really can pick up a rhythm of something. If you pick up the rhythm of something going on outside of you, and you'll just get that service, and if you allow yourself to go into that, and be attached to what's going on in that, you'll see less than you will if you do like a pause and step out of the picture, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and are just an observer of it, an observer listening and feeling that rhythm that's going on. You'll see a lot more, and you'll get a lot more information about what's going on that way, because you'll pick up many things, not only what you'll see, you'll pick up different things, subtle things, but you pick up those subtle vibrations and rhythms that are going on under the surface that you wouldn't hear if you get attached to what's going on, emotionally attached to the outcome or the bad feeling of it. If the rhythm isn't very good, you'll hook into that, and then you can't really have a depth to it and get more information by doing it that way.
So that, when you're talking about that, that's kind of like the difference between emotions and feelings. So if you're hearing the outside noise, you tend to get caught in the emotions of it.
You see what emotions do to us? It is like reaction buttons. I mean, emotions will take us places. If you can stay out of the emotion of it, and just that it feels like a passive observer, but yet you're very active in staying out of it. That's very active, but it's a very spiritual activity of staying out of the linear thing that's going on outside
mm-hmm.
of you, because emotions take you one place or another. And on a line of emotion, you're either really good emotions or really negative emotions, but it's going back and forth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll stay out of that and it's very active by staying out of that and staying more in that depth of silence.
Yes.
And observation and listening that way. So that's why the pause, observe, listen. When you're pausing, the idea is to don't get attached to the things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Move outside of that. Observe it. Listen.
Listen
within yourself. Listen for the rhythm that's going on. Feel the rhythm then.
I love that the month of May is rhythm. So when you go back to that idea of what Jamie Sams talks about, the 13 original clan mothers and the listening woman, and then she talks a lot about the different animals, like the hawk and the messenger that carries the words of wisdom. And the other ones that maybe you could talk about, she mentions ant, armadillo, rabbit, mockingbird, ferret, and porcupine.
What does she say about the ant? What is the ant?
Well, I thought that was interesting. Ant, she talks about from the ant you learn compassion because they have patience. And I have to really think about that because when I see an ant, I'm not really having a lot of compassion for the ant in my house. But that's not the one she's talking about.
Yeah, she's not talking about the one who's come into your house or whatever. And see, you're in a different frame of mind when you see that. Now, if you were to go out in nature, and that's part of that, the understanding of developing listening skills is to observe nature and listen to nature.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out there and observe the ant in its environment, what it does, you'll see that it's quite a profound little insect. Very, very strong, very patient, and just always working, always doing something.
Right.
Very active in that patience. And
so that's a different way to think of an ant. And then the armadillo, who would think of an armadillo as being something that I would want to pay attention to?
Yeah, what does she say about an armadillo?
Well, she talks about, I thought that was interesting. In armadillo, she was talking about it keeps the feeling, it said, keep the feelings and troubles of others out of sacred spaces by using boundaries.
Huh?
So that's what we're talking about, the emotions. Instead of allowing emotions to come in to that pause, observe, listen place, to in the pause in the center of the circle, we set a boundary and leave it out.
Yeah, you can look at it as the boundary. And when you really develop that sense of getting into that very still, quiet place, it's actually got to build in boundaries, because the noise really can't penetrate that place.
Yeah.
Because it can't live there. It doesn't live there. That type of rhythm and stuff lives outside of what that stillness is. Otherwise, it wouldn't be still, would it?
Well, that's true.
Because it's just like having that clear lake that's just glass, just not a speck of wave of anything in there. That's what that stillness is. So if there was something to come in there, obviously it wouldn't be the stillness.
Well, that's such a perfect metaphor then for what we talk about. If there's only one and it's good, there is no, and it's omnipresent, there is no room for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So in the stillness, you're in that one omnipresent good, and there is no room for anything else.
No,
those two things perfectly go together. Those two ideas go together mm-hmm. perfectly. So when we're outside of that, then we're not in the one at all. You get to choose which one are you going to be in, which place do you want to live, in the outside noise or the inside?
Yes,
pause.
And which one of those are the ones we work on the most?
Well, this is a trick question.
Is it?
Because we always... Because we've been trained to work on the other one.
Yeah, we don't even know there was... Actually, we weren't given an option to go, well, which would you like to work on today? It
yeah.
was, this is the way it's going to be.
It's the outside. We're going to work on the outside.
Yes. You know, it was an interesting thing. I was watching a television show that was called The American Experience. It was about Native American people.
Oh, yes.
And this...
On PBS.
Yeah, on PBS. And this particular segment was about the Cherokees and how they were... forced to go on the Trail of Tears to mm-hmm. Oklahoma. But they were talking about if the Native American would be would take on what was wanted, I mean, be like everybody else, be like...
Well, that's what they wanted.
They wanted them to... What is that called? Acclimatize and be what?
Acclimate. I don't know. Yes,
something
that sounds
like
good.
That. But anyway, they wanted... If you
acclimate.
Would be like us...
There we go.
Yeah, if you would acclimate and be like us... And mm-hmm. just then everything would be fine. But the Native Americans had questions about that. They said, well, but why would we want to eat at a certain time? Because that was one of the things. They said, you have to eat at a certain time.
And American Indians thought, eat when we're hungry.
We eat when we're hungry.
Right.
And, you know, if you think of just that one thing, mm-hmm. you go, oh, yeah, because we all do that. Well, is it time to eat yet?
Yeah.
Not. Are you hungry?
Yes.
Because it would create chaos in society. I mean, just that one little thing. You know, is it time to go to work? Yes. Well, Native Americans didn't have it's time to go to work. So it was a listening thing of they came from a more solid, quiet place inside and lived from that place outward. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was actually the Puritans who came over and said, you're going to live in this rigid way. And we've all accepted that through the last many generations.
We don't give it a thought, do we?
Well, I think that I do have to say that it's changing. I think more and more people are interested in what's the pause, mm-hmm. what's the listening, what is really the deeper message behind all of that.
Yes.
So I do think we're changing that, which is why we're doing these reality shift talks.
Yeah, and like entering the silence at Kiowa of what the Senecas refer to, that was all the time. I mean, that was an everyday experience of doing that. They did that daily and many times during the day, I would assume. I mean, this was just what they did.
So when we're talking about May people, we're not actually talking, although we talk about May people if their birth date is in May, but we're really talking about the rhythm of the month within everyone. So we're not trying to separate...
everybody out and say you're a May person, you're a June person, you're a November person. We're saying this is the rhythm of this month.
Exactly, because you see the circle. The circle is whole. There's no separation at all within a circle. There's no beginning, no end.
Right.
What looks like, well, there's this segment that looks like May. Well, if you don't put lines in that, you know, saying, well, it's this and it's solid and there's boundaries. And no, it's not that way. It's just you have everything. But you're really expressing what is May the most. Everybody has, obviously, the ability to listen and can listen quite deeply. The May, you have it a little more, it's a little more effective, a little more profound, and it comes easier to do that.
Well, and also it can be kind of like when you hit May, you could say, this is when I'm practicing this month. This is the month that I practice really the deeper listening than I did the last time I...
Well, that's right, and the Senecas had what they would refer to as a clarity vision quest, and that's what they did. And again, you went into a hut by yourself, and you went through the months inside, within yourself, within the hut itself. So it could be dark, completely dark in there. So again, now you're listening, so you're using that May quality of listening. But you're going through each month. And so that's why they call it a clarity vision quest. You're getting very clear on, well, what are the qualities of each month? How am I working with those qualities?
I like that, because then it reminds us that we include all of it, that each one of us is a unique expression of the divine, but we include all of it. We're not separated out like little pie shells.
Exactly.
Only a little piece. I like that. I like that one. So the other thing I really liked about May is that it's talked about that May have the ability to counsel other because of their intuitive faith. What did they mean by that?
Well, the faith in the tradition that we're talking about is knowing. It's an inner knowing. And everybody comes, what appears as being born and that kind of thing, everybody comes in at a certain place that's referred to as the South. And it's a stable place. It's your stability. It's your sacred place, sacred space of where you enter. And so that is always on what the Senecas referred to as the pathway of peace. That is referred to as faith. Mm-hmm. That's the knowing you have, that inner knowing of your essence, your qualities. So you start with that always. And it's connected to everything. So they call it a blood tie, just meaning it's like blood. It just it includes everything. It just touches everything within. And so the color for that particular quality of faith is red. And that's why it's red. So they call it a blood tie.
Now, how does that work with the color of the month? Because I know the month in the Seneca tradition is black. The color is black. So how did the color red get in there?
Well, again, the color red is strictly on the pathway of peace. And on the pathway of peace, there are seven stepping stones in the pathway of peace, which is, again, another thing that the Senecas used on a daily basis. They would always start with the pathway of peace. They would go through the seven stepping stones. So as a May individual, you're thinking about the color black, and the reason you're thinking of the color black is black, in blackness, you hear
truth, I see.
And you see the light.
I see.
So if it's all black, then you can really start seeing, you can see the light quickly, easily, in pure blackness, within that idea, you know.
Well, what's interesting to me, you're talking about we weren't trained to listen, and I said, but it's changing. More and more people are saying what's going on outside can't possibly be how I want to be living. And I do actually believe that there is a quality to that. There's a group of people who appear to be baby boomers, although that's just symbolically, who are at the place where they can say, well, what was it that I meant to do? And I think that's why there's a lot of listening going on. But I found it really interesting that I was just reading a little magazine, and they were talking about people that have a tendency towards heart attacks. And I was just perusing it, going through it quickly, and they were saying that people who overtalk, people who constantly interrupt conversations, you could see that as a tendency towards heart condition because they're competitive and hyperactive. And they had one remedy for for stopping to lowering their blood pressure. And that remedy, I just thought was amazing, because they said, right there in this medical thing, said all they have to do is stop talking and listen.
Huh.
And when they train people to stop talking and listen, their blood pressure and their stress levels dropped immediately just by doing that. So I thought that's another, to me, a sign and symbol of the change that the what looks like the world has moved to.
Right.
Wanting to hear this still
and see, isn't that going more internal? Because when you're listening, you have to, and it's an interesting thing about listening. You can, you know, you really have to be trained to listen these days, because you can listen, but most of the people who are not talking are usually thinking of what they're going to say next.
Exactly. How am I going to up this person?
Or they're judging what the person is saying.
Or they're judging themselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on, but it's an activity on that line. It's a very linear thing, and it's not a, okay, stop the internal dialogue and just...
feel it.
You feel it, you feel the rhythm of what's being said. And really, that's where not only the rhythm, but then you start seeing that pattern. Mm-hmm. The pattern becomes very clear, which is why in May they talk about the prophecy. Well, it's really just discerning, and that's another thing about May people, they are the keeper of discernment. It's just discerning, you know, the pattern. You see where it's going, and so the prophecy is, well, you feel the rhythm, you see it, and you can go, oh, so it's like you hear the beat of a song. You get the rhythm of it. You know what's coming next.
Right.
Because you get into the rhythm of it, so you can move with it, and because you know the rhythm. It's a definite pattern. And that's what the prophecy is about May people, is they feel that rhythm. They really can see it and feel that rhythm. And so it's easy to go, oh, I see where this is going to end up. It's going over there.
If it doesn't change.
If something doesn't come and change the rhythm of that. And what would change the rhythm is pause, observe, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's the quality, a quality pause, observe, listen. You know, you can go through the motions of pause, observe, listen. But what are you really doing when you're doing it? Are you aware of the quality of the pause, observe, listen? Is it going into that very still point where you can really have good discernment?
Well, when you talk about the still point, that's another sign and symbol of the age of what quantum physics now says about it being the still point coming from within and not coming from without.
Yeah, that's one of their sayings that they have. They said it used to be external about the outside world, and now they know it's just the opposite. It's about the internal.
So whatever you change within, it appears without. And I think that's really interesting that we're saying that kind of thing now, because it's been said for ages and ages that if you change the way you're thinking, it shifts the outside world. And that's really what we're talking about all the time, what you perceive to be reality magnifies.
Yes.
Well, the other thing that I...
Well, you know, that just kind of brought to mind that when you're attempting to change the way you're thinking, so you're making an effort to think about, I'm going to change, okay, instead of saying this, I'm going to say that, can be a little bit effective, but what would be far more effective?
Well, you're shifting your perception. It's much more effective if you start with the within and the pause.
Yeah, the within. So if you have the quality of the pause, observe, listen, where you're really getting into that idea of listening. And again, you can practice it by getting up really early, sitting outside in the dark and listening. I mean, that is great practice. And there it is. You don't have to go pay out the nose to have some professional teach you how to listen. You can go out in nature and really start listening right there. Listen for the tiniest sounds. Listen within yourself. See if the chatter is going on in your own head. So if you start from that place and get more and more versed in how to listen that way to those really small sounds, that will start to change the external viewpoint and what it looks like and what's going on.
And when you really recognize that, then it makes it more valuable to stop and do that pause. If you think it's just, well, I need to do it to calm down, or someone told me to pause, then after a while it doesn't mean, it's easy to drop out of that habit. But if you realize that in the pause everything shifts, to then then it's worth taking the time, because that's the only place that anything will shift to the one good.
Yeah.
It's the only place. And is that what Don Juan meant when he talked about accruing the inner silence?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, if you just do it a little bit, you just go kind of just below the surface so you have a little more depth, hey, it's better than what was going on, I suppose, right?
Right.
So, you know, you got to start somewhere. So, okay, keep the practice up. Yeah, it's just like anything you practice. You know, you'll have some successes and some failures. And well, the idea is, well, keep practicing. You know, it gets better and better, and you'll find yourself getting more and more calm. Mm-hmm. Being more and more relaxed, and a deeper sense of awareness always starts with relaxation. So, if you're stressed out, the beginning place might be, we'll just do a countdown synchronized with the breath so you can at least calm down and relax a little bit. That gives you a better sense right there of listening.
And the idea of not reacting.
Yes.
Just take the pause and respond later. And it's amazing how many times... you think if something's upsetting you, and instead of reacting, you pause and wait for a better time to discuss whatever is upsetting you. It's amazing how often in that pause it dissolves and goes away.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to be said. But if you say it, it just inflames the situation because it becomes a huge outside mess.
Yeah, isn't that what we were talking about earlier? About, well, if there's that line of emotion, if you attach to it, the line itself, well, you're going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Where if you detach from that idea and you're in a pause, observe, listen mode, where you're really in the silence and the quiet place, well, now you're not attached to that. So you're coming from a whole different standpoint. So obviously you're not going to see what's going on with anybody that's standing right on that line and experiencing that.
And you know what else you're not doing? You're not defending your ego. And you're not defending your personality and your point of view, and you're not defending when you stop and pause.
Now, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Because actually, in that depth, that place of tie-away, I don't think there is an ego there.
There's nothing to defend.
I mean,
nothing there,
I said,
but the one.
Yeah, the one. The one ego. So the one ego is, you know, it's not concerned with something that says it's an ego other than the one ego. You know.
So there's nothing to prove. There's nothing to control. There's nothing, really, there's nothing to defend, which is usually what a reaction is a defense.
Yeah.
Of your personality or how you think it's supposed to be.
And it's a pattern. And there again is that rhythm of a pattern of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's the rhythm of reaction.
And instead, we're trying to do the rhythm of harmony. That's what we're working for, not the rhythm of reaction.
And where does harmony live? Where does it exist? Does it exist on that line?
Well, I don't think it does. It seems like it would only exist within that still place.
And you know, that's what we try to do. We're on the line, you know, when we're doing the linear thinking and physical, it's material, it's all that. We're on the line, we're always attempting to find that place on the line where's the harmony at on there. If I do this, maybe I'll find it and I can make it happen on the line.
You can make it happen, but it never will.
It never will, because the whole idea of linear, I mean, it just doesn't... There's a beginning and an end. So you're always going someplace on the line. So the circle is the idea of harmony. The idea of harmony created the circle. So the circle is the only place where you find harmony.
And in the center, knowing that we are all that's within that circle.
Yeah.
Creates that, makes you,
which goes to,
feel
as soon as you think your personality is something separate from mine, now you're on a line
outside the wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that you're important enough to be outside the wholeness, there's God exists, there's only God, there's only mine, there's only infinite love, and then there's me. It's such an ego statement instead
for sure.
Of becoming part of that whole. Well, the other thing that we talked about is that in Revelations, there's the seven messages to the churches.
Right.
And the fifth message to the church is be watchful.
Be watchful.
So it's interesting that number 5 in Revelations also relates to listening.
Yeah. Observing, listening, pause, observe, listen, be watchful. What's going on? Where are you at?
And then the other part about Revelations that is really interesting is that if you keep reading, if you read all the messages, it always says, if any man have an ear, let him hear.
Perfect. Because again, what are you hearing? If you're hearing the things that are going on the surface, you're not going to hear what is the truth or what is the most important message there is to hear. You're too busy on the linear thing of bouncing around. And what's also very interesting about Revelation is the fifth vision. Because in the fifth vision, you know, that's where all the plagues are released.
Okay.
Well, the only thing that releases a plague, and it's a plague of that chatter that goes on in our own heads. You know, it's all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The only thing that releases that is the resistance to what is absolutely true. So when you think of the quiet, the calm, the stillness, that still place where there's none of that stuff going on, the noise and the chatter and the chaos and confusion, that place right there eliminates the plagues of sense.
Ah, that's interesting. And you don't need the plagues.
No. No, gosh, no. Heck no. Huh?
In other words, you can skip all that if you mm-hmm. listen.
And that's the way Revelation is. And if you understand what that is about in the fourth vision, it shows you it's over right then. If you have that understanding and get to that place where the understanding eliminates anything after that.
Right.
Or if you don't, then you set up the lessons as what the Senecas called in the Cycles of Truth. What you do is, if it's very uncomfortable, now you've set up the lesson so you can learn what it is you're repeating. You know, there's that rhythm again, what you're mm-hmm. repeating. If you keep repeating something that you just aren't willing to look at or have the awareness about, it just gets a little harder until you finally, are you paying attention now?
That's the question, are you paying attention now? How about now?
And the whack on the head, so to speak, you know, mm-hmm. metaphorically, gets a little more severe. And how that looks, it's all individual.
And easily not either not gone to or easily dissolved when you go back to what truth is. It's not a lesson you have to go through. There's no requirement to be suffering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, no. Well, the requirement is in, I suppose, you would say, if you completely buy the second chapter in Genesis where it's all about Adam and Eve and all that, then you'd say, oh, yeah, you have to suffer. That's part of the whole plan.
But what we're talking about, the big R reality, is really the first chapter of Genesis,
yes.
where not creating what was already there, but revealing to ourselves what's already present by taking away all our misperceptions about it. And mm-hmm. a lot of those taking away perceptions happens within the stillness.
Yes.
And the pause, and not react. And then those perceptions drop away, and then we see what's already present.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having to create it. And then we see the lie of the separation that starts in that second chapter of Genesis is a lie of separation, and we don't have to live in that illusion, in that separation.
Right.
Well, the other thing, when we're talking about the pause, we're always talking about the pause, and what worries me about talking about it without saying this is that people will think that pausing is it's the new age version. You know, if I sit on my couch long enough and pause and think about what's true and visualize, which we are not promoting,
no.
but people think that pausing is visualizing, which it's not.
No.
And if I do all that and I really, and then I attract to myself all these wonderful things, they think that's what we're talking about, and yet we're not. That's part of it. And the second part is that you could sit on your couch and then sooner or later someone will put money in your mailbox or under your door that you don't have any action to take. And that's completely opposite from what the truth is.
Right.
So when you're in the pause and the stillness and you're really listening, I find the more I pause and listen, and it doesn't have to, you know, it could be that time in the dark or it could be the time, you know, just in the in-between pauses, then I have all this action to take that feels natural to do. If I don't pause, then I'm stuck. So actually pausing, you hear the still small voice which directs the action, and then the action is easy and the right one to take and feels good. I mean, you don't do that pause, then you're hearing that loud outside voice that says, you have to, you better come do this, you're supposed to, you woulda, shoulda, coulda, what's wrong with you? Then you hear all that noise, and you either take action in that noise, which almost never feels good or works out in the long run, or you get so immobilized by that noise, you do nothing.
Yeah.
So when I'm stuck, when I realize I'm listening to that noise, really just pausing, just even if it's a short time, and really going back to stating what is the truth of being, what is the truth, what is really going on here, in whatever way that is, and we'll talk about that, whatever is present as God only.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back and remind myself of that, which is a pause to me, and then I think about whatever I'm looking at, if it's present as God only, then it can't be what I'm looking at in terms of dead plant or the fireplace. I can't be looking at it like that and saying it's a thing. I have to re-see the symbol of it back to the essence of it.
Right.
Which is what happens in a pause. You have to see the essence of a fireplace might be warmth or security or care or love or any of the things that it's different for every time that you see a fireplace.
Uh-huh.
It's not always the same. It's like you can't make a list. A fireplace is this. It's different in the time and the situation, but it's always the quality. It's that wave to particle. So as you observe that quality, it shows if you observe the qualities of warm, caring, love, you need warmth. It could show up as a fireplace, or it could show up as a fire. It could show up as a heater. It could show up with someone with a warm coat. But it's always starting from the within.
Right.
So to me, that's the pause. So when I go back to making that observation, making myself stop for a minute and make that observation, then I can move more quickly out of that other feeling,
mm-hmm.
which either makes you crazy, you know, like running around like a chicken with your head cut off, or makes you stuck. It's those two sides of the line, stuck or crazy, stuck
yeah.
or crazy.
Yeah.
So for me, stopping and doing that, pausing and really thinking about whatever I'm looking at must be God's presence.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to interpret the signs and symbols of it correctly to understand that it's God's presence and the infinite intelligence. And when I do that, then a little thing pops into my head that says, go do this. Or sometimes I don't think about it. I just find myself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always relate specifically to what I was pausing for. But if you stand back and observe the big picture, you can see how it was all part of the one.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen. You can't control, if I do this, this will happen tomorrow. Exactly how I'm thinking. That's just such a painful way to be living.
Yeah, and most of us do it that way because we want that to work. You know, we want something to change our circumstances.
Right.
If we don't like the circumstances, so we
try to control them.
Yeah, and we're used to living on that surface, so we're used to operating from that place. And to go within and find the silence is a difficult thing, even though it's very easy.
It's very easy. Just stop for a minute. You just go, stop,
but it's difficult
up,
because
think.
When you do, you become aware of, wow, there's a lot of noise in my
there's
head.
Yeah.
A lot of talking going on, a lot of...
And then the next point about that is that it's just a reminder that that noise in your head is not you.
Yeah.
Because we've been trained that the noise in your head, the abuse in your head, the mess in your head is because of you. It's your fault that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of the noise. But as soon as you go to the real pause, you can recognize that that voice in your head is not truth, therefore not you. And you can separate yourself out from that noise. Yeah, this is what it's saying. But hey, it's not me. I'm allowed to say no, go away,
mm-hmm.
and shut the door on it. Well, the other thing I liked about May, well, I love May. I've always loved May anyway, but talking about it, I love May even more. And one of the things that you were talking about that I thought made it even more exciting is the Chinese idea of what May is.
Yeah. In fact, that is interesting because In fact, it was just last night I was talking to my coach, my Wushu coach, and he was talking about Mei and the idea of the dragon in Mei, but then he mentioned the five poisons. So okay. Again, here's the month of May, and it's five. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the five poisons, and the dragon, you know, chases the poisons away.
Right.
But he said it's the pivotal point in the Chinese year, because that's when the energy completely shifts and turns to the good, because it gets rid of all the poisons. And that's what the dragon's function is, to drive out the poisons and put restore that really good energy, so to speak. And the five poisons are represented by particular animals. It's toad, and lizard, scorpion, centipede.
And snake.
And snake. And so that it's a very deep thing in the Chinese year, is to have this month of May and that pivotal point where it drives out the five poisons.
And that is what May is. It's a pivotal point.
It is.
It's, you can feel that change from what was to what's coming, mm-hmm. always in that month of May. And then what really interested me, because we're on the five, and then you talked about the Chinese see it as the pivot point, then I was thinking about, we have the seven steps to shift.
Right.
And just because not everybody will know them, I'm going to tell them. One is, the first one on our steps are to be willing.
Yeah.
So you can't shift anything if you're not willing. It's just a given. Mm-hmm. You've got to be willing. The second one is to become aware, which we're always talking about in the reality shifts. That's mainly what we're talking about, becoming aware. And the third step was to understand signs and symbols, which is what this particular series, the 12, is about, understanding signs and symbols. So we're in the third step. And then the fourth step in our seven step to shift is learn that perception rules. Well, we are always learning that perception rules, so that kind of underlies everything that we talk about. But our fifth step is to shift to spiritual perception. So the fifth step is the pivot point.
Yeah.
Because you can do those first four. You can be willing, you can become aware, you can understand signs and symbols, you can learn the perception rules, and yet live in the linear world.
Mm-hmm.
You can use those to become better at the world, at the worldview. You actually, for a while. But when it comes to the fifth one, you have to actually make the choice to shift over to what's true.
Yeah.
You have to make that pivot point. You have to turn around, which is shift, repent, turn around and walk the other way. You have to say, what I'm looking at is not actually what's true.
Yeah.
It's the essence of what I'm looking at is what's true. The substance of what I'm looking at is what's true. It doesn't happen from the outside in, it happens from the inside out. So it's that big shift to spiritual perception, which we're talking about. So then, to find out that the Chinese see number five as, or May, as that pivot point.
Right, and just like the seven steps you just mentioned, I mean, those steps, you know, you have to have those first four before you have that place of five.
You have to have that first four.
If you weren't willing, if you didn't become aware, if you didn't understand the signs and symbols, or you're not going to shift anything.
And you didn't understand the perception rules. If you don't understand that perception is what's hiding the truth, if you don't really get that, then it's what's the point?
Right.
But as soon as you realize it's all perception, then all of it makes sense. Like, but why would you waste time on anything else? Why wouldn't you just make the choice to shift your perception? And then in the end, why not shift your perception to a spiritual point of view? And then I guess the last two are walk is one. So walk your talk, mm-hmm. number six. And the seven is celebrate with gratitude.
Right.
Always gratitude. And then you start again because you're spiraling around and going deeper and deeper into awareness and higher into understanding. So.
And it's what part of this is what makes it difficult for most people, because they would like the shortcut. Well, is there a way I can just go to five? And,
can I
bypass those first? Or is there, is there a quick become willing? Or, so we're coming from that standpoint and viewpoint of the linear thinking. I want it now, or I want it yesterday. So come on, let's go. And so then we're always looking. So okay. We did a pause, we did observe, listen, and then we go, let me see, did it change anything yet? And, this isn't working.
Well, so,
and it
doesn't work. You just stepped out of it when you did,
looked. You immediately stepped out of it. And we try to use the things to improve the human life, the material life, and the idea, you're not going to do it that way. It's not going to work that way. Standing in the silence in that clear place down there automatically starts to dissolve the chaos and the confusion. Now, if you say, well, how does it dissolve? What does it look like? Well, it's going to be whatever it's going to be, but it will dissolve it and start to go away. But that's when you also find yourself starting to hang on to something. If it starts to go away, I used to really love that. It might not be as important as you think, or the thing that you're really starting to feel from within is so much more important.
Yes.
But we're used to the limited, the narrow, the lack. We're used to that. That's the rhythm and the pattern we've been trained to have.
And that's so silly.
Yes.
It's so silly. And not being willing to give what you just said about, I used to love that, and then not willing to give it up, made me think of one of her granddaughters who last time I saw her, she said, I don't know, I just don't love toys anymore. And I thought, well, yes, she's making that transition from childhood to womanhood or childhood to young lady. Yeah. And nobody thinks that's strange. So of course you should give up loving toys anymore. But as an adult, we think we're supposed to keep on loving the thing we loved when we were 20, when we were 30, when we were 40, when we were 50. But actually, we have a deeper essence of what it is, and that's what we should be celebrating, which means we actually let go of a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of, I wanted to do that, and a lot of things go away because we actually see the inside of it rather than the outside. That idea, I want to be rich and famous, goes away because you realize that what you really wanted was to be useful and purposeful and to live within truth. And those are the things that you get as you start listening at whatever age you start listening.
And you know, it's interesting at this particular time when we're doing this, you know, the economy doesn't look all that good and a lot of people are losing jobs or out of work, that kind of thing. And you know, they're used to the busyness.
Yeah.
And you can see there's a lot of stress because of that, because now the noise in their head has increased dramatically. Because before, when you have a job, a regular thing you're going to, you've been so used to that. And it fills up all that time. You take that away, and then the noise in the head starts to really rattle around. I mean, it's probably more intrusive than an old trash can, metal trash can in an alley, you know, going down an alley and banging around. It can be very intrusive, so it would make it very difficult to get into that very quiet place. And yet it's essential to do that. So it just is a matter of practice it. Keep practicing.
And now a lot of people have time to do that.
They have time to practice. Find, go again, in nature, go outside, do a sit time, do a night sit where you sit all night long outside and just listen. Very difficult to do and also very easy.
Yeah.
But what comes out of that is really profound.
Well, it is interesting that so many people have time now to listen, and realizing that when you start doing that, the lesson of May listening and the prophecy idea, that it will take you into a broader expanse of what your life is about than what it was before you were doing something else that was causing the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually, the worldview, all of us are shifting to the spiritual perception. And those who hang on to, I wanted it to be the other way, are the ones that will makes it feel as if there's a need to suffer.
Yeah.
The ones that say, I'm celebrating this shift to what's true, don't need to feel any of that because they're not looking for the outside world to give them.
Right.
They're not looking for a medium of the outside world to provide what they need.
Right.
Well, other things about that, I love the number five. I didn't know I loved the number five till we got to May. We start talking about it, but you talk about the number five also relates to the hand.
Oh, yes. Before I get into that, I wanted to mention something about that silence. Because we were referring to that, you know, sitting outside and having that quiet time and going within and how the noise can increase on the outside. And how we're trying to figure it out from that human sense point of view. We're trying to figure out, well, what's going on, and can I look at it from that viewpoint? And this is where physics can come in quite handily and give a good understanding of this. Because in physics, you have the material physics, which is about measuring everything material.
Mm-hmm.
And there's laws, certain laws, and they're very exact, and they apply to anything physical all the time. And when they started to go into the quantum and get deeper and deeper into physics, none of the physical laws apply.
Right.
To the within, to that those very small,
that's
small particles. Because that's what they found out, you know, when you're looking at it, it's a particle. When you're not, it's a wave. So everything changes, and that's the idea. And it will change as you stay in that quiet place. And it's everything on the outside begins to look much different.
So. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they've proven for themselves that internally the outside laws don't apply.
Mm-hmm.
The laws that we think are so true aren't true at all.
Right.
So the hand.
So then the hand, the Senecas use the hand as a symbol. And because it has five fingers, and they looked at it and said, well, we have to have a way to remember what we've seen. So the story is there was 12 elders, and they sat around a campfire. And it was all symbolic because there was 12. They were in a circle. And in the center was a fire. And the fire was, in essence, the eternal flame of love. It was eternal. It never goes away. That's where it's all coming from, is that main center place right there. And they wanted a way to remember this and have a symbol for it. So they used the hand because everybody uses their hand and it's always there. And the first finger, they said that was life. And the second finger was unity because when you put the two together, you have unity.
So your pointer finger and your middle finger, your pointer finger is life.
The index is life. Okay. And the second finger next to it is unity.
Uh-huh.
And then the third finger is equality, because when you hold it up, you can see it's about the same height as the first finger. And then the fourth finger, the little finger, is eternity.
Huh.
And then the thumb is the essence of spirit that holds it all together. Because when you use the hand for everything, and you take and you wrap the fingers around it, and you hold on to things,
mm-hmm.
you hold other people's hands, you use it to touch. I mean, it's universal, so... As a metaphor, the hand is, and the symbol is just perfect for that.
There's so many wonderful symbols around five. Talk about the human, the number five is, in Chinese is represents human perfection, or the Olympic rings. It went into the Olympic rings, and there's five Olympic rings, talking about how those all, they relate to non-competitiveness.
Yeah, that's right.
It is interesting. And then there's the five elements.
Yeah, five elements. The Chinese use the five elements for everything. And that's even what's behind Tai Chi is the five elements, because they have the forward step, backward step, things like that.
Yeah.
So
what are, do you know what the five elements are? I know you don't have time to talk about them. But
earth, fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, earth, fire, metal, I did know them, wood, and water.
Earth, fire,
metal, wood, and water.
And each one of those is symbolic of...
Oh, yeah. Each one of those are very symbolic. And then, again, martial arts were all designed after a lot of the five elements.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like in one particular martial art in Chinese, it's Xing Yi.
Uh-huh.
In Xing Yi, they use the 12 animals and the five elements. And then each element can counter or complement another element. And you use that in the movement and the strikes and things like that within the form. So it's all designed around the five elements.
And I never knew that. That number five is that listening is really weaves through a lot of things.
Yeah, and again, a pattern. So you get the pattern and the rhythm of something, and then, you know, it's easy to express that.
Well, I know that there are animals that are symbolic, depending on what culture, but in the Seneca tradition, the deer is the...
Deer is the animal for May.
Month of May.
And
why did they choose that animal?
Because the deer is about physical fitness. It's about listening. You think of the deer with its big ears. I mean,
uh-huh.
It is always... The deer who live the longest out there in nature are very seldom seen, because they listen and they've calmed down and they've become very still, and they know how to travel in the shadows, travel quietly and slowly. Because there was a fellow who went to a deer station during hunting season, and you know, this isn't the greatest topic to talk about, but it's a little bit of an understanding about listening and using that inner knowing. Because he said when he was tagging deer, he said every deer that came in, there was like 270 deer. They were all under the age of 18 months. Very young.
Well, I don't know what tagging means.
Well, they were killed and they have to tag them and that kind of thing.
So they were all young.
They were all very young. So what that tells you is going like crazy, panic, reaction. Uh-huh. Well, the wise old bucks and the old does, I mean, where are they at?
Yeah.
They're listening. They're quiet. They're hiding. They're in the shadows. They're moving slowly. They don't react. They know what to do. So that it's the essence of that right there, of that quality of listening. And a deer is about physical fitness and about breathing. And if you notice breathing, there's always a rhythm to breathing. And it's always in and out. So it's like store and release. Mm. And if you think of that quality just in itself, you know, you attract something to you, so if you have an inhale breath, of course, you're attracting what you need at that moment, but you release what you don't need. And we have a tendency to, everything we get, keep it. Why? If you don't need it?
Let it go.
It can be quite a burden, and that's part of that listening within, that'll tell you what you don't really need anymore. Mm-hmm. Because why? Why hang on to things? Which, again, is part of that. It really begins with the type of thinking we do. If you don't need to think that way anymore, why do you want to hang on to that?
Right.
That type of rhythm and pattern.
Well, when you're talking about that, I just wanted to, I know we started talking about it, I didn't finish it, was that we're not talking about visualization within the stillness. We're
no.
talking about being aware of the one.
Exactly.
And we're not trying to attract anything or raise our energy or raise our vibrations, because all that is talking about the material.
Yeah,
world.
That's being on the line trying to manipulate the line and do something
right.
about it.
Instead, we sink into the awareness of what's really going on, mm-hmm. and that handles, in quotes,
yeah.
the without.
Right.
Well, as we're getting ready to finish up, and I kind of saved this to the very end because you have a story that I thought you could read. As we finished up the story of the fawn.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a beautiful story that if you read that as we finished up, that it would kind of really sum up the whole idea of what May is about.
Okay. Is this the story here?
There you go.
Now this comes from, did it come from Jamie Sam's book? I think it did. Thinking about that. Oh, yes, it did. It actually came from the book Medicine Cards.
Jamie Sams.
Yes.
Medicine Card book.
Yes, so this is where this came from. She said, one day Fawn heard Great Spirit calling to her from the top of Sacred Mountain. Fawn immediately started up the trail. She didn't know that a horrible demon guarded the way to Great Spirit's lodge. The demon was attempting to keep all beings from connecting to Pure Spirit. This would create separation and keep all beings from knowing their true self. This gave the demon the feeling of power and caused all beings to have fear. But Fawn was not at all frightened when she came upon the demon. This was curious, as the demon was the archetype of all the ugly monsters that have ever been. The demon breathed fire and smoke and made disgusting sounds to frighten Fawn. Any normal creature would have fled or died on the spot from fright. Fawn, however, said gently to the demon, please let me pass. I'm on the way to see Great Spirit. Fawn's eyes were filled with love and compassion for this oversized bully of a demon. The demon was astounded by Fawn's lack of fear. No matter how he tried, he could not frighten Fawn, because her love had penetrated his hardened, ugly heart. Much to the demon's dismay, his rock-hard heart began to melt, and his body shrank to the size of a walnut. Fawn's persistent love and gentleness had caused the meltdown of the demon. Due to this gentleness and caring that Fawn embodied, the pathway is now clear for all of Great Spirit's children to reach Sacred Mountain, without having to feel the demons of fear blocking their way.
I love that story, and I think it really just capsulizes everything that we're talking about.
Exactly, because in that quiet, calm place, that's where pure love is. It's right there. That's it.
Perfect.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Till next time.
Till next time.
I love that we can always count on the silence to hear any message that we need to hear. It's that message coming from within that carries truth and power. Let's continue to practice the arts of listening and thinking. It can only make our world a much better place and our lives rich beyond measure. You can find this podcast and our other podcasts at theshift.com/podcast. We would love it if you could rate this podcast on iTunes. Not sure how? Check the show notes for the link to a how-to page. Thank you for listening and choosing to shift the story together.